Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
D6 seconds to go, and the Florida penalty.
Here we go, Pasternak's fighting, Tkachuk, right off the bench.
And Pasternak still wants out Tkachuk, even after the officials have gotten in between.
He's not happy because Tkachuk took an extra shot while Pasternak was on the ice. Two star players going at it, great for Pasternak. Unbelievable. Willing to fight Tkachuk like that right off the bench. Motions are high.
Keith Tkachuk watching his son throw a couple of haymakers at David Pasternak. But to your point, Kelly, Pasternak.
I don't think he was happy with that extra shot.
Was not happy.
I don't think anyone was happy about that. Maybe the Panthers were. I certainly wasn't. That was the David Pasternak, Matthew Tkachuk fight that you saw in the third period of that game. You know what was weird about all that? All this stuff's happening. All these guys are getting ejected. Pasternak's fighting with Tkachuk.
Pat Maroon's in
getting
jail.
Thrown out with Cousins, and all this other stuff's happening. All these guys are getting misconducts, and there were still like 9 minutes left in the period.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh my God. Like after that, I'm like, I couldn't even watch it. I was like, I don't even want
to
watch anymore.
I was pissed because I wanted to turn over to the basketball game, and the other person in my household was like, no, we're going to watch these hockey fights. And I was like, fine. Here's another one.
Weren't even really good fights.
No, they weren't really.
Frederick got a couple pops in on one of them behind the net, but then, you know, they all just, it was just a big pig pile after that. And I don't expect there to be real fights.
What?
Maybe if Maroon comes out and doesn't get thrown out for talking, whatever that was. I don't understand what Maroon even got ejected for. I still am not clear on that. And by the way, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but Keith Tkachuk? You guys see Keith Tkachuk in the crowd? He looks like King Kong Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and he was thick.
What happened to him?
You know.
I remember Tkachuk was like, he was like a big guy, but he wasn't big. He's huge.
Well, generally, ex-athletes.
Mo Vaughn didn't let himself go that much. Like,
but they go
Keith
in one
Tkachuk
or two directions.
Big.
Like, some get really skinny, like the Teddy Bruschis of the world, and then some,
right.
You know, they keep eating like they're still burning all these calories every day, skating, and they're not, or drinking, going to games, watching their kid play.
Right.
You know, you're up in a suite. I'm sure there was plenty of beer and chicken fingers, so. You know, it leads to a little extra weight.
He went the Antoine Walker way.
Yeah, it happens. Leave him alone. He's enjoying life.
Whatever. I don't like his kid.
He's shaming him.
Screw that whole family, honestly.
And you would take his kid in a heartbeat.
I mean, definitely, but he's not. He's not on the team right now. He's on the other team, and he's beating up David Pasternak, and I don't like it. Let's listen to Pasternak talking about the fight. He seemed very sort of ha-ha funny about it, but let's listen.
I'm not a very experienced fighter, so I fell down. You know, it's on me, Vijay. You know, approached it a little better, but how I said, I haven't been in many of those, but, you know, I'm not really going to comment on it. These two games are done. You know, we stole one. Going back home, we have to focus on game three.
Did you tell Coach that you were playing on scrapping, and did he give you the green light?
No, I just told him that I'm going on the ice. I didn't ask him.
You know, you are in the game. It's a lot of emotions, and you know, I mean, I'm not afraid of him. You know, to be honest, I can take a punch, and you know, I do anything for these guys here.
He can take a punch. He just can't land one.
That's true. Couldn't land one.
Yeah, he got a couple. In
fairness, he got punched when he was already down. You know, so, I mean, it was a cheap play by Tkachuk anyway to do that.
But that wasn't the cheapest of cheap. He was still going down. I think he was, like, on his knees or whatever and got hit.
He was on his knees falling backwards.
And then he was
hit him
down, and down.
Then
and
his
he kept
helmet flew
punches.
Off and he kept going, yeah. I mean, it was not, I don't
well,
think
it didn't
anybody
last long
covered
enough
themselves
for Tkachuk
in glory
to
there.
Get any punches in. It wasn't really a fight. It was over instantly.
Wasn't really anything. That's
kind of lame.
When Pastrnak got up, both of the linesmen were lying across Tkachuk like he was, I don't even know, like it was a casket at a funeral or something. But that was unfortunate. I didn't like that. I know a lot of Bruins fans out there liked that Pastrnak was out there swinging. I hated it. I hated everything about it. I thought it was all bad. I didn't think it fired the team up. I don't think Pastrnak covered himself in glory. I thought it was just an all-around bad thing to have done.
He sounds
I didn't
kind
like
of embarrassed,
any of it.
Doesn't he?
I was embarrassed.
He sounds embarrassed after the fact. He's like, I wish I would have done a little better.
Yeah.
Stayed up.
Wouldn't
you be?
I wish maybe
better.
Someone else would have fought him. Like, that would have been okay.
I'm always embarrassed when men are fighting.
So I fell down. You know.
I don't know. If they had, like, slugged it out for, like, what was that fight that went forever where both guys were tired and they ended up kind of just wanting the refs to step in?
PJ Stock?
If they had gone that long, I think there's some respect to that. But he went down immediately.
Yeah.
So, and it is interesting you bring up the wish
he, like,
somebody
didn't know
else
how to get
had
the gloves
fought.
Off. He's right. Like, oh, I don't do these.
Do you wish somebody else had fought? Like,
yeah. Sure, Trent Frederick. Send Frederick out there.
Is that a bad thing
Tkachuk.
That
yeah,
Pasta has
Tkachuk
to do?
Yeah, but Tkachuk was calling him out from the bench.
Yeah,
so why
don't
this
you call Wayne Gretzky out? Wayne Gretzky ain't fighting.
No, someone
that's
else
how that works. You call Tom
it.
Brady out. Tom
so
Brady ain't
just,
fighting.
He just sits down and he's like, not me.
Yeah, that's what superstars do. Superstars hide behind their bigger defenders.
Mm-hmm. You have to remember that I grew up with a Washington team where Santana Moss used to punch people with their helmet on.
Well, yeah, that's not bright.
And he was a receiver.
Who is the guy in the Kings? Who was Gretzky's bodyguard? You couldn't touch Gretzky because McSorley.
Yeah.
McSorley and Semenko, those two guys. Those two guys would take your head off.
That's how it works.
That's what happens. David Pastrnak is as close to Gretzky as this team has. Right. He shouldn't be out there fighting.
They are protected. Your top scorer, your quarterback, like, they're protected by somebody else who is willing to take a bullet for them. Instead, you got your best player.
They had already, Maroon wasn't allowed back out there because he was talking too much.
Yeah, but
so.
Pasta should be the last to fight.
Yeah.
Final guy to fight. Maybe the goalies.
Marchand should be fighting. You know what? I would have liked to see a goalie fight there because I think Swayman would have kicked Bobrovsky's ass. He's got 10 years he's younger than him, so he would have been a little more spry.
Those are tough, too.
And I also think that he's a little crazier than Bobrovsky because Bobrovsky's got that, like, European crazy, but, like, Swayman's like Alaska crazy. That's
we're making
Swayman,
a lot of generalizations right
Swayman
now.
Swayman also, he poses himself very much like he sings in the net.
So?
Yeah.
He's like, he seems like kind
does.
Of a hippie.
Yeah, crazy people sing. I think the Joker sings and kills you.
Moon over Parma, send my love to me tonight. That's right. What was the biggest issue? What was the biggest issue with the Bruins? We have several options here. Some people have written in different ones. The ones that we wrote down here for our poll were top six production, turnovers, power play, and Charlie McAvoy. Right now, turnovers is leading. That's the Arcan Super Pack at just about 35%, but it's very close as top six production and McAvoy are both high, too. A lot of people saying the power play is not a problem. I think the power play is a huge problem. I think it's a tremendous problem. Is it the biggest issue? I wouldn't put it there, but I'm surprised other people haven't. Mega, what is the biggest issue with the Bruins right now?
These are all serious issues, and I know a lot of people are going to pile on McAvoy today, rightfully so. Mm. Like, the 16 giveaways that he's had in the playoffs so far would be bad for any defenseman, but for who he is, making the fourth biggest salary for a defenseman in the NHL and who he's been in his history of the playoffs, it's just it's surprising and unacceptable. But to me, it's the top six production that is a bigger long-term and overall concern for this team. Because once again, your offense, look, I thought that Coyle was good and aggressive in the first period last night. And everybody else, aside from, you know, Marchand's always a little bit in the mix, nobody else is producing. Pastrnak was terrible. He had zero shots on goal last night. And it's disappointing because I thought that maybe they found some momentum coming out of Game 7 in the way that that ended, and they carried that over into Game 1. But then again, when you look back at Game 1, it's like, it's not like it was Pasta and Marchand, and I'm going to throw DeBrusque in too because it was an empty net goal in game one that he had, not, you know, one that was at the beginning of the game or in the second period when everything started picking up. I'm just worried about this offense, like that they have any rhythm that they're going to be able to produce in a meaningful, consistent way, or is it going to be these kind of one-offs where they can have guys lower on the rungs, score a bunch, and then Pasta and Marchand and other guys are able to disappear for three games at a time?
I'm sort of with you. I think that there's a lot to be said about that. I think that the top six scoring has been a major, major problem, and it was on display last night. You're right. I mean, no shots on net for David Pastrnak's ridiculous. What do you think it is, Andy?
It's McAvoy, because the McAvoy goals allowed, there were two goals that I think you trace directly to Charlie McAvoy, and you are a team that was starting to ride a goaltender. You were starting to have the classic goalie stood on his head through that cup run kind of thing, and McAvoy was so bad, he made your best player look bad in Swayman, right? Like, he got Swayman benched, essentially.
Yeah, standing in front of him.
Yeah, standing in front of him, or standing in front of him with no stick and being useless, right? Like, that was infuriating, and then you lump in the other stuff, the turnovers. They lump in the fact that he's not contributing to anything offensively.
He became worse than useless. He became harmful.
Right, he played for the Panthers. He essentially he was a plus for the Panthers. Like, he was playing for the Panthers in that game, and for anybody, like, I do think we'd be criticizing Charlie McAvoy no matter what. Whatever his salary was, if he was a call-up, whatever. He's one of your highest-paid players. He's making a ridiculous amount of money to be a net negative, to hinder your ability. And not only is he making his own mistakes, but he's making your goalie look bad. And that's because the goalie confidence we had gotten out of, there was no goalie questions, right?
Right.
We were done with that. You had a number one goaltender. You had the numbers, the SID numbers for him coming out of that first series, like, it was a one-off. He's the only person in the history that had done, I don't know, win six games, go seven, blah, 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 1.55 goal, blah, blah, blah. Like, his whole thing was historically good. And you were so bad, McAvoy, that you got him benched. And you got people like Arcan saying, so who's going to start game three? Like, you've re-entered the question of who the goaltender. That's how bad McAvoy has been. He's ruined the team on the ice, and he's ruined the team on the airwaves.
I agree with most of that, too. I think Charlie McAvoy has been a big, big problem. And by the way, I wasn't the one asking that question. I want Jeremy Swayman for the rest of the series and the rest of the playoffs. By the way, even with that game last night, Jeremy Swayman still number one amongst all goalies that are still playing. Aiden Hill is a little ahead of him in goals against, but he's not. They're out. So Swayman's number one in goals against and number one in save percentage, despite that game last night, four goals in two periods. So
despite McAvoy standing in front, like, can you see? Can you see?
Right.
Can you see? Can you see? Oh, you can't? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he had some turnovers in that last Toronto series too. It's not just a recent.
He stinks
with
right now.
He's been bad. He's been pretty bad. And I think in general, that's probably the second one I'd have there, but my number one was the turnovers, and I think that the turnovers are a team-wide problem, not just McAvoy. You're seeing McAvoy do it a lot, and a lot's expected of him because of where he plays and the fact he's getting paid a lot of money, but I think that this is a team-wide problem, and maybe it should have been instead of turnovers like Montgomery and coaching, because the Montgomery coaching, I think, aside from that timeout, has left a lot to be desired here. I don't like a lot of the decisions that he made with the roster back in the first round. I thought a lot of those were unnecessary.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, just seeing them come out and have a good first period and then completely lose the narrative after that was tough to watch. It was an all-around tough watch last night after that first period. Those second two periods, the team was borderline unwatchable, even with Swayman trying to keep them above water.
And the too many men penalties.
That's
just inexcusable.
That has to stop. I don't know what else to make of it.
But why is it going to stop? Why would it stop now?
I don't know. Because it seems like there's been so many of them that it's almost a fluke. Like, no way a team can be this dumb and have this keep happening. But they do. It just keeps happening.
Yeah.
So you wonder when the fluke's going to be over.
If you figure it out by the fourth, fifth, or sixth time,
you're probably not going to figure it out.
The seventh, eighth, or ninth time.
It's almost like there's a thing. Like, there's something weird going on that they have
this.
It's
like the yips of too many
men. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the guy's like, I don't want to go, but I can't stop going. I'm going.
There's a magnet on ice. Yes.
Monty's got the yips. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will get to all your Bruins-related phone calls right after Ryan Garvin tells you what's trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcan.
I love shrimp.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Let me upgrade you.
On WEEI.
Here they go again.
Weatherspoon jumps in there as well. He's all five of them in there. Frederick with his gloves off. Throwing some bombs. Stenlin. Kulikov. I don't think we've seen the last of this tonight either. Trying to set a tone for next game. Through Boston, you want to say to Florida, we're not going down easy. We're not going down without a fight in this one. And Florida, you're sticking up for yourself and pushing right back. That's what playoff hockey's all about.
And Dave Jackson, our officiating expert. Jax, how an officiating crew handles this. We've talked about it at times. Do the 10-minute misconducts just start getting handed out so players don't do something stupid?
Oh, yeah, Bob. They'll be handed out like candy after this.
That was part of the goonage that was going on there in the third period of that game last night. It's Jones and Mego with Arcan, the No Jones, and with Andy Hart. There's no acronym for that. It's too many letters. But, yeah, that was – and Leah Hextall, who I like and who used to work for Nesson, but accused the Bruins of gooning it up, which I was surprised to hear that. She's talking about, well, they're bringing out all the big guns. They're going after them. They're upset that they're down. They might have been upset that they were down. But I thought almost everything they did there was a response to some provocation from the
fans.
They might have been upset that somebody was standing in front of them with their arms raised after a goal, just mocking them. They were being dinks, right?
Like a lot of a-holes on the Panthers.
Yeah, I know your a-hole ratio across the league.
Big team of a-holes, yes.
But which is important, is you could move those words around to be a different commentary on the Panthers.
Good.
But no, like they were being provoked, and that's fine, and they stood up to it. I still don't know what the maroon thing was. You know, I joked with you guys, like, he said there's a magic word. This is like umps in the old days. Like, a manager comes out, oh, he said the magic words. He's out of here. Like, what is the magic word that I can't say to another adult athlete that the ref overhears? I mean, I guess unless you threaten to kill him or something, maybe that would be. But they,
I guess, but they threw Cousins out too.
Yeah, he got thrown out too. So they both crossed the magic word line and got tossed. I think that was trying to be symbolic, trying to send a message like, don't do this. Because this game.
And then they just did it. So.
Well, and then everybody did everything. Yeah, everybody and you said it was like just under the 9-minute mark through like the 7-minute mark. There was like three different melees in that minute and a half. If this had been like a youth or even a high school game, I think it would have been one of those, this game's over. We're just done. We're not playing the final 7 minutes, but I don't think you can probably really do that in the NHL. Because it was like, there's no way you can keep control of this. These are men out there. Like,
okay, so who comes out of those multiple melees with any kind of emotional upper hand? Because to me,
Panthers.
Yes, the Bruins played completely into everything the Panthers were trying to bait them
from the
to
first
do.
Minute of the game.
Absolutely.
Kachuk's out there. He's yelling at Coyle. Coyle's smacking his stick. He's getting all pissed off. He's going over to the bench. He's yelling over at Pasta. Pasta goes to the coach. Can I please fight him? Coach, please, Monty, can I go out and fight him? And then he goes out there. And then after the fact, you heard Pasta in the dressing room. He's like, yeah, I could have done a lot better. I'm not really used to
And Matthew Tkachuk's dad, King Kong Bundy's in the crowd getting very upset about it all.
But you know what this reminded me of is like that line where like the good guy can't cross.
Yeah.
Like the bad guy does anything to win, but the good guy has morals, so he can't.
Oh, like how Batman doesn't kill people?
Right. Any of those, it's a very common theme.
It's true. He doesn't.
Are the Bruins
he
Batman kill, in this analogy?
And no, it'd be like if Batman took out an Uzi and started mowing people down. You're like,
that's not a hero.
That's not how heroes work. You're not supposed to do that, sir. You started playing their game.
You dangle them off buildings and threaten them, and then you let them self-destruct.
Then they create their own. But you tried to slum it with Tkachuk and the Panthers, and now you've lost your way. You've lost your soul. You've lost who you are as a team.
In fairness, game one, the Bruins out-hit the Panthers by like 12 or 13 hits. So, I mean, it's not like they just suddenly started trying to play physical.
No.
But I think they came in with that idea. We're going to be physical. They did that in the last regular season game with them.
Yep.
I think they want to meet that challenge. I don't know that that's the proper tactic. I think you may be overthinking it a little bit. Like, be who you are. Let them be who they are. And I do think, Mego, you brought it up earlier, the Panthers were a little finding their way, and I think you woke them up. I think you snapped them back into being who they are, because I do believe when the wheels went off this game, they seemed to be thoroughly enjoying it. And I know you're up on the scoreboard, but it was almost like they were enjoying
what they were feeding off of it.
Right. The reaction they were getting. You know, like a lot of people, you know, you bust balls until you're trying to get a reaction.
Right.
And they got the reaction they wanted. And that's where I think we're talking about Jim Montgomery and, you know, too many players on the ice, lineup changes, the goalie. He needs to reel his team back in and figure out who the
Bruins,
bleep they are.
Like, looked disorganized.
Yeah.
And the Panthers were thriving on the chaos that they caused.
Yeah.
They were just feeding off of it, keeping it.
It was working for them.
Just off the rails, and it was perfect for them.
But Arcan thinks all you have to do is fly north and play at a building here in Massachusetts called The Garden, and everything will be fine.
Yep, that's all it takes.
Because
they've
as
been
we've
awesome
seen.
At,
as
the,
we've seen.
At TD Garden, which we'll get to in a second. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go up to New Hampshire, talk to Coach, who has a thought on David Pasternak's fighting skills. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, Mego, I love you, and I usually agree with you, but you could not be more off on this. You heard his interview. Well, number one, David Pasternak knows he's not a fighter. He knows he couldn't win the fight, but he got in the fight. And if I'm his teammate, seeing my superstar who knew he was going to get pummeled go in the fight next game, I'm going to just beat the crap out of Tkachuk. And the Garden's going to go crazy. And, oh, by the way, the team is going to win by 4 goals the next game. And lastly, I do want to say this. As far as Swayman goes, the first goal was the absolute perfect tip-in on a slap shot. Of course, I don't know why that guy was out in front of the net alone. And the third goal, McAvoy was standing right in the way, screening our own goalie. Mm-hmm. And really, if the game goes into the third period 1-1, I don't think everything that happened would ever happen. That's my take. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
I hear what he's saying. I think the point that I'm trying to
I think he's wrong about Pasternak.
I would have felt differently about Pasternak if his play had been different. He was not non-existent. He was nothing out there on the ice. And so it's
I barely remember him even having the puck.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So he's making this like late game statement about just because I'm a star doesn't mean I'm Kachuk's a star too.
Right.
I mean, nobody talks about that. Like he's a superstar.
And also they were hitting him. Like Brad Marchand laid him out in the first period.
Absolutely.
Laid him out. They were hitting Kachuk. It's not like they weren't. Oh, they're going to really hit Kachuk next game. They hit him in this game and it didn't matter. Like you can hit Kachuk. He's good. He's tough. He can take that. Unless you're talking about taking him out of the game, which I don't think anyone's doing. And I don't think they're going to risk that with any of their good players. Jay is in North Carolina and he's unhappy with us. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. The Golden Goons certainly set the tone about that. I thought I was watching a sequel to Slapshot. I was waiting for Ogie Oglethorpe to come out.
True.
But I'm waiting for Pat Maroon to dance with Matt Kachuk. That's what I'm waiting for. It's time for Omar to show what he can do. He was a Vezina Trophy winner. He ain't chopped liver. And it's as I say, but the key is...
You want him to start next game?
He's a Vezina Trophy winner. He's not chopped liver.
Not
the guy
question.
Is
that a yes?
That's
not a yes.
Yeah, I think so, yes. But the thing is, the referees are the key to the game. How much extracurricular activity are they going to permit after the whistle?
All right, we're not going to talk about the refs. I mean, come on. I don't think the refs are doing a great job. I think there was a little bit, it was a little slanted there, but I mean.
Refs screwed them.
They were chucking everybody. Everybody was getting chucked. I mean, that was what was happening. It wasn't favoring one team or another, I don't think.
It was a four-goal game at that point or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, the refs had nothing to do with why you were terrible in the second period or any of that other
stuff. I wanted to hear why he was mad at us.
Yeah, he wouldn't get to it.
Because you hang up on callers before they get to their point.
He gave him plenty of time. Joe is in Boston. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, I always agree with at least one of you. It is a great show, but I think the Bruins are just exhausted, man. They dominated that first 10 minutes. I don't think the Panthers took it away from them. I don't think they had anything left. And I said after the second period, the coach should have removed the goaltender to give him rest at that point because they weren't going to come back. They were losing and got worse as the game went on. Got to give him some credit, man. Give him the next game. See what happens. I think they were just dog exhausted. Seriously.
All right. Well, so it's game two in the second round. They shouldn't be exhausted at this point.
And there's another game a day later, so they're going to be less tired? How does that work? And like, oh, they looked great for 10 minutes.
It was 20
minutes. Mom, I nailed the first 10 questions on the test. The last 90, not so great, Mom, so I got a 10 on the test.
He did.
What are we doing?
He did bring up the point, though, of the goalie switch, which I think we all agree was the right thing to do with Swayman.
Sure.
When it's 4-1, Arcan, I know, and somebody text line, sorry, it passed by a while ago, so I'm not going to be able to properly credit. They said Avalanche came back from a 4-1 deficit last night.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so it's not impossible, but at the same time, like, I didn't think the tide was going to turn for you the way that the Panthers were stomping all over you. So I think it was the right thing to pull Swayman, preserve him, and hopefully start him for game three.
We just got two calls in a row calling for Ullmark to start the next game. Yeah. I feel like that's more than we've had in any show since the playoffs started.
Oh, absolutely. This door has been opened a little
now
bit.
Now it's open, yeah.
You opened it.
I didn't open it.
You asked the question earlier.
The question's been asked, Andy. I'm not the first person
the
to ask that question.
Has been asked.
Come
I
on.
Didn't ask
you asked it. I didn't ask it.
I am against.
I
am against.
Ryan,
Swayman
did you
out.
Ask it?
I did not ask.
So
I
it
didn't ask
what it? Was it? AI asked itself. We just got a policy. We're not supposed to use AI or something.
Asking. Yes, I'm aware of the policy.
The question is not a question that I'm answering favorably. That Ullmark should start. But it's something that's been discussed by people who are color commentators for the team.
People
and our own Razor. Razor said it.
Many people.
Razor said it before the series even started. He's going
to
play game three.
People are coming up to Arcan with tears in their eyes.
Yes.
So saying, when will Linus Ullmark
big,
start?
Tough men looking at me.
So we want the goalie that gave up two goals in less than a period, not the goalie that gave up four in two and plus periods.
I think
he wasn't great either.
It's insane to go away from Jeremy Swayman. Even with that game, which was his worst game, fine. I mean, I don't think a lot of those goals were 100% his fault. But I also don't like that because people said that for Tuukka all the time, and I thought that was letting him off the hook. But point is, he's still the best goalie in the playoffs. He's still probably the Conn Smythe favorite right now, even with that game he just had. You don't go away from that. You just don't.
I don't think he was a problem at all. Like, if I were listing the problems, we did our...
He's
if you opened
down.
Up more Q at two...
Yeah, there's a reason why we didn't put him as an option in there.
No.
And there's a reason nobody's weighed in and said Swayman was the big problem.
No, but two people just said that all
Yeah, because they want to switch it up and get cute.
Why are we switching it up?
Because they want to get cute. They think that they'll change one thing,
win.
It'll change everything.
Cute doesn't win.
That is, having Ullmark out there, it's going to fire everybody up? No.
I think the opposite. I would have less interest if I were a player. Wait, why are we not playing our best goalie?
Unless McAvoy goes up to a reporter and says, I hate Jeremy Swayman, and that's why I'm purposely screening in front of him so we can't see where the puck's coming from, and I wouldn't do that to Linus Ullmark. That's the only reason that you could explain it.
If he was saying that, I would bench McAvoy.
I would say, you get to watch from the ninth level or whatever. You're toast.
Yeah, seriously.
The goalie's good. You're not.
You aren't. So, yeah, it's 100% right there. Monty, actually, after the game, disagreed that they had the juice. He doesn't think they did at all.
The workload hasn't played into Jeremy Swayman. The workload had played into our effort tonight. We didn't have juice tonight. Swayman was terrific. I thought about taking him out at 3-1, you know, going into the third. And then when the fourth goal went in, I was like, well, I'm taking him out now. He made two great saves before it went in.
He did. They
so
didn't
he's
have
questioning
the,
their effort.
Didn't
by
have
the
spark,
way.
Didn't have the effort.
He
I think
said
that's fair.
Effort.
The effort after the first period, I didn't think was there at all.
But effort and spark or juice are not the same thing. Effort is how much you're trying, juice is what you have in the tank. Right? Am I parsing words
Yeah,
here?
I think you're parsing words.
No,
all.
I think when
I,
a coach
no,
questions effort,
saying, yeah,
it's different than saying...
Well, you think they have dead legs? You agree with the caller just now, Joe.
No, no, no.
South
dead
Boston.
Legs is... First of all, if they have dead legs, then you're porked because you get another game. Like, I don't
right.
know. Like,
and they had
whatever.
Juice to start the game. I mean, they did. They just 100% right. were juiced up to start that
so
game and then hit the wall.
Effort word is an interesting word when a coach throws that out. That is him questioning, well, you didn't give me what you had. Not that you didn't have it. You didn't give me what you had. Right?
Did you think it was an effort problem from McAvoy? I thought he just looked like a
they
mess.
Sucked.
They just looked disorganized.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the coach. He's a lot closer than me. He sees them a lot more than I do. He
we didn't
them.
Have juice tonight.
No
Wait,
juice.
Play the effort one.
The series.
See, he said effort.
He did say effort. The series is now shifting to Boston. Does that make anyone feel good? Does anyone feel good about the
you.
Series now coming to Boston? Other than me, because I know that was my thing. It seems like everybody else is dismissing this, like you, Andy.
Yeah, I think they're toast. I think you woke up.
You think
up.
The series
think
is
done?
Over?
Yeah, I did not like the way the Panthers looked. The maniacal grins and reactions and we got them to play our way. They're done now. Like, I just felt like they were the villain that snapped the hero, and now this is just, this is our game. We're playing by our rules, which is no rules, and that's how we win. Like, I did not feel good about the ending to that
game.
They
pummeled the Lightning. Like, they, you know, like that, watching that series, I think, when I saw that and I saw how much trouble the Bruins were having with Toronto, I was like, ooh.
But it's also.
Right, so Florida's not like some team no one knows about this year who's going to surprise everybody. Like, they had a big target on their back. They were first in the Atlantic, and they went out there and they beat the bag out of the Lightning.
But
so.
We talk about their physicality and the style they play. They also score a lot of goals. Like, they also have talent. Like, I think
they like
are
60 goal scorers this
right,
year.
Right, that's what I mean. They're sort. It feels like they're miscast as, like, brute goons that win a certain way. Like, no, they can put the puck in the net as well. So I do not feel, it's funny because I, when they took that lead and the way they were playing, I did feel good. I'm like, wait a minute. Cause I had doubts overall about this team and how far they'd go. But if you're up a game and you're up a goal and you have some juice, well, why not? You can win this series. And then the bottom fell out and I have swung. As I said earlier, I believe they are trailing this series 1-1. I think they are at the deficit in this series.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the series is going, and if you're just going off of momentum, then you're totally right about that. And there's an argument to be made that in that first game, even with the Bruins scoring all those goals, they were on their heels a lot of that third period, and that's why Montgomery's timeout, everybody was all excited about that, because they were getting outworked and outplayed in the third. And then they were able to sort of hold that down. But now it seems like, okay, Florida has learned something or figured something out, or maybe the Bruins have just run out of gas, which in the second round is unacceptable, I think. This isn't some really old team here. All the old guys are gone. You know, you don't have a bunch of 37-year-old centers out
Marchand's
there anymore.
Marchand's 35, though.
He is, that's true. But, I mean, you know, it was a lot, the team was a lot older last year.
How old's Pasternak?
Like, they're in their 20s.
Pasta's, those are two.
No, isn't Pasta 30?
I believe Pasta's 28. Hold on.
Those are
practically 30.
Those are two that are in our
He's
crosshairs,
27,
right?
27.
So. 27?
Yes.
Damn.
That's practically 30?
No, that's practically 25.
I was going to say, that's closer to his mid-20s and
he's
25.
He's basically Michael Penix.
Yeah, he's young.
He turns 28 in 2 weeks. So, happy early
will
birthday,
he still be
David
playing?
Pasternak. Let's hope so. If not, if he keeps fighting Matthew Tkachuk, he probably won't.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. So, the caller said, like, somebody's going to come out and fight Tkachuk. Maroon, you got to knock him out. Like, do you steer into this physicality in the way the game ended? Or do you go, wait, we need to reset and figure out who we are? and be who we are and not try to necessarily play the game on their terms. Like, that, I think, is a coaching point.
I mean,
that is a,
first of all, like, you got to make a push on the power play. Like, that's something that I think has been really under the radar and part of the reason that the top six performances have been the way that they are. Like, that's a real thing you have to figure out, because the faceoffs in this series have been marginally better at times than they were against Toronto, but I don't think you have, like, a clear solution there. So you're going to have to start, especially if McAvoy keeps playing the way that he's been playing, you're going to have to start finding stuff on the margins that are not just our goalie is slightly better than your goalie.
Right. And the Pasta thing is weird to me, because I actually thought he played really well in game one. He had a lot of scoring chances.
He should have had a hat trick.
He hit a puck. Yeah, absolutely. And then to come out and kind of lay an egg in game two, that's disappointing. That's a little Tatum-like, where you're looking for consistency from your superstar. Like, I'm a big believer with Tatum, and I would say the same thing about Pasta. Like, the end total of points isn't always the same. Like, the net sum.
You need to change the momentum of the game.
Right. And I count on you to be that guy. So, like, yeah, you could have X number of points in a 5-1 win, but when the game is on the line, when the season's on the line, when the series is on the line, are you there? Are you clutch? And this was a game where he wasn't there and everything spiraled out of control.
Yeah, that could have been much, much different with just a couple of plays from him, I think. I agree with that, before things got out of control. 617-779-7937 is your phone number.
I hate Jeremy Swayman.
Hey.
What?
Why do you hate Swayman?
I don't know why.
These are out of context. Jason Tatum? I hate Jeremy Swayman. I hate Jason Tatum.
Wants to split up Tatum and Brown.
Split up the Jays.
I mean, she said that how many times in how many different ways?
This is all me mocking things that people say about Red Sox suck.
No,
that one's real.
Lately, they kind of have been.
the Red Sox one is
lost five
real.
Out of six. They're not looking too good these
days. The other ones are
Chris
mocking.
Chris Sale kicked their ass last night.
The Red Sox one is real.
When we come back, we'll have the triple play. It's Thursday, so a report card Thursday after this.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served. And let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. All backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more!
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three!
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. Triples makes it safe. And it is Thursday, Mego and Hart. That makes it a report card Thursday. So let's bust out our red pens and start giving out some grades.
Number one.
Mego, we start with you. Chris Sale, very good against the Red Sox last night. Why don't you go ahead and give a grade to the Chris Sale tenure in Boston?
I'm sorry for what I'm going to do. It's a D. I feel
a
like
D?
A D. Yeah. I mean, look, before the contract extension, he was mostly great. And then the contract extension and everything that came after that with all the injuries and just the insane nature of the injuries from, you know, hurting his ribs, throwing a baseball to falling off the bike and over by BC. It just became like a clown show. And then him ripping the TVs off the walls in Worcester and like throwing a hissy fit. I always liked the guy. He always said the right thing after his bad performances. But after a while, it just, you know, it became so repetitive. I'm glad that he's down in Atlanta and he's pitching better and he's healthy again. And I'm sure he's a great guy and everything. But I can't really give it higher than a D for the time that he was here.
See, I'm going to be positive here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say C plus. I think you kind of had a tale of two eras. Like, you had the World Series winning healthy era of Chris Sale, and then the whatever the hell that was, you know, the unlucky streak he had on the field, off the field, injuries, the whole thing.
Walking snake bite.
Yeah. I always appreciated, like, the candor. And I know a lot of people, I think I heard Jones say it earlier, like, it played itself out. Jones was on earlier, not on this show, which has his name. He was on earlier in the day. There was a little Drew Bledsoe to him. If you guys remember, Drew used to always be like, as the quarterback of this team, I have to be better. Right. And it's like, that's awesome until it happens every week, every year for an extended period.
Yeah, it gets repetitive.
But they won a World Series, and he was an ace, and he was a two-time, you know, Cy Young candidate
top
in a Red Sox uniform.
Years,
right?
Yeah, like both of those 2 years.
So I can't just forget those because it ended so poorly. Yeah, you signed a bad contract. Yeah, you wasted money. Yeah, he got hurt a lot. But I choose to lean a little bit more into the success early. So I'll give it the C+.
All right, let's get to our second grade of the day.
Number two.
All right, Hart, we'll start with you on this one. Grade the first round, not the current round, but the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Lackluster, I would say. And certainly some of that is, for me, weighted towards the Boston Celtics played a non-playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I would go D. I would be down in the D somewhere. We're not doing that. We are not doing that.
Well, too late now.
Because, you know, you've
only
had
one series went seven games. That was Cleveland-Orlando, I think, was the only one.
Because this feels a little bit like a watered-down postseason where you didn't really have 16 playoff teams. And I know we probably can say that every year, but I think there was a stark contrast. You lose what I thought was going to be a potential challenger, Eastern Conference Finals, Bucks, that whole thing. And then you had the injuries to both their star players. So when you start combining bad teams, bad series, bad injuries, you have bad playoffs.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add. I guess, like, I'm with you. I'd give it another, like, maybe a D+, just because I don't ever really have high expectations for the first round of the NBA playoffs. I think it usually is pretty lopsided, which is funny because you get the play-in tournament ahead of time, which is kind of exciting at times because at least those teams sometimes are more evenly matched, and then you never know with one of those teams like we saw mm-hmm. with the Heat last year going on a run. But the injuries overall are what broke the early rounds of these series, which is unfortunate. I hear some people saying, is this a poor reflection of the league overall, that the parity is not there, that it's just so drastic? But I really do think it has more to do with, one, some superstars who people tend to think are still, you know, 5 years younger than they are, aging kind of out of where they are with their teams, on top of just bad injuries for other teams that are screwing it up.
I give it exactly a C because I think both the East and the West had two good series and two bad series. I thought Cleveland-Orlando was a good series, and I thought Knicks-Sixers was a good series, even though it was only six games. Bucks-Pacers was crap, and Celtics-Heat was crap. In the West, Thunder-Pelicans I thought was crap, and Mavericks-Clippers I didn't really care for either.
Denver,
I thought T-Wolves-Suns was very good because the Wolves just surprised everybody. And Denver-LA was a great series. I know they swept
series.
Them. Or no, they didn't sweep them. It was a five. It was they won in five. But how many times did they come back from being 20 points down? How many buzzer beaters were there? Like, that was a good series. So I do agree that there were some problems with the first round, but there was a lot better games there than I think people are remembering.
This is a bigger topic for a bigger segment, but is the NBA going down the road of college basketball, where you say the playoffs might be not good and some of these teams that are put together, like the Bucks and the Suns, disappoint because, well, they were just put together. Do they have an issue in terms of continuity?
The Celtics were put together.
Well, not really, though. Your top two players are your top two players.
Right, but they got Derek White new starters this year, and the, pretty important.
You added Kevin. You the Suns were totally reconfigured. The Bucks were totally reconfigured atop their roster, and that's what I'm wondering is if you're going down the road of college basketball where everybody's like, hey, this women's basketball is good because, well, that girl and that girl and that, they've all been here for 4 years, and you build teams and continuity and skill, and in the NBA, it's like the rush to immediacy, like turn it over year after year.
So I actually wrote about this in the 2022 finals because, well, 80% of the starters on the floor were drafted by their teams when you saw Celtics Warriors.
See?
But that's kind of like, it's still, I think, more of the rarity. I think what you're seeing right now is you see older players who have been a big part of the player empowerment movement who have chosen their destinations and also to some extent played GM with those teams and who they want to play with versus younger guys who are either on their first contracts or very early contracts. It's cheaper to build teams around that talent. And in a way that's like, you know, it's like having a rookie quarterback,
right,
where you can go out and get these great wide receivers to pair with them or something. And it's just kind of a transitional moment.
All right, let's get to our third grade of the day.
Number three.
You may have heard this. Charles Barkley, and I think we have the audio. Charles Barkley called New York overrated, among other things he said about it last night. Let's take a listen to
Charles.
Who
wins. Cut it out. I don't care who wins, but I will tell you what, I would love to see them get their ass stomped by the Celtics. That'd be great.
Then you care who wins.
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever wins this series is going to get stomped by the Celtics.
Well, you said you'd be happy to see it.
Yeah, because the New Yorkers, y'all deserve it. Because y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell them, Chuck.
Come on, y'all ain't that good in New York.
What else, Chuck?
Come on, man. Y'all overrated.
What else, Chuck?
It's because y'all make good pizza and good bagels.
And what else, Chuck?
And what else, Rhyme?
And hold on, Chuck. Don't forget about the...
Oh, you know, they came, I ain't going to say anything bad about the street meat. I love the street meat.
So Barkley, noted street meat lover, called New York overrated. Grade the city, Mego, of New York.
Grade the city of New York?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think I give it a B, maybe a B minus. New York is really fun, and there are certain neighborhoods that I really like, and I can never afford to live in any of them. But the thing that, this is going to sound so dumb, the thing that bothers me about New York is I am always worried about how long it takes to get in and out of New York. I always have this, and maybe it's just because I've seen so many disaster movies and a lot of them are in New York.
True.
I always think about like, oh my God, if something were to happen and I need to get across one of these bridges or get through the Bronx, like no shot, I'll die here, you know, under some scaffolding or something. I don't know.
It's like a dark turn.
Yeah, that's how, yeah. I think New York
is fun, except for the impending dread of
right.
New York is fine. Like,
wow, it just dropped down a little. Now it's fine.
Yeah,
fine.
That's what I would say a B minus is fine. Oh. And it is annoying that everyone who lives in New York thinks it's the greatest city on the planet. It's like, you're fine. Yeah, there's a ton of different cool stuff to do. Absolutely. But there's other cool cities, too.
Yeah, C minus.
And Boston's way prettier at a street level. I'll say that much. Like, obviously, New York is an incredible city, and you can't really compare the two. But a street level, I do think Boston is much more attractive.
C minus. Too big. Too dirty. I don't like people. I don't like buildings that big.
It sucks in the summer, too. You don't want to be there in the summer.
I don't really want to be there ever.
You don't like Central Park?
No.
You don't like Williamsburg?
I don't even know what that is.
It's in Brooklyn.
Okay, no.
I love New York.
Yeah.
I love going to New York.
So the grade is what?
I give it an A+. I love New York City.
Why'd you move there then?
I've thought about it. I love, every time I go there, I always have a good time. I love driving in New York. I drive to New York. I love driving in the city. I think in a past life, I was a cab driver.
He worked with Jones for too long.
No, it was before Jones. I like driving in New York. I think that I fit in there.
Do you like
in there
driving
as a driver.
In Boston?
Yes. But I learned to drive in Boston, so I mean, it's different. But like when I'm in the city and I'm driving around the city, I feel alive. I do.
So like that's like, your version of like out on a country road. You're just like, no, like the guy on the motorcycle going down.
I don't like driving.
It's my version of like, you know, rafting down the Chattahoochee River or something like that. You know what I mean?
Chattahoochee.
Or whatever it's called. You know, that's what it's like. That's what it feels like to me. When I'm driving through New York, it's like the most serene, calming experience I could possibly
have. With people,
have.
Cars honking, every
I'm
truck.
I'm honking right back.
Double parked.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, that's
people
weird.
On bikes, couriers, all that stuff.
If you had to choose one,
it's the best.
New York or LA? What would you choose?
Oh, New York in a heartbeat.
Neither.
I'd take Boston over New York, but I love New York.
I think I'd choose LA.
I think I'd choose LA too for the beach and
better
the water.
Better lifestyle.
And, yeah.
I mean, like when you're maybe.
I don't
like,
want either. You can't
if,
breathe. In
if LA. I was like 24,
oh, yeah, New York's
I'd
healthy.
Choose New York.
There's no chemicals in the New York
nope.
here.
It's proven.
Also,
fact.
You're like thinking of like downtown LA. If you're over in Santa Monica,
right.
you're breathing. Fine.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
ocean
like
air.
You're gonna get weird. You're gonna start like drinking green juice.
He's
stuff,
already weird.
But... yeah, I'm not vegan weird. So there you go. There is a report card Thursday. Our grades on the various topics of the day. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about the Bruins. We also got some Celtics preview for you as well, and Megsplaining as well as Bet Roulette all coming up right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This Memorial Day, raise a glass to those who served. And let Blinds.com raise the bar on home decor. Serving up style with huge summer savings. Blinds.com is the better way to get custom window treatments. Online with upfront pricing and no salespeople at your door or inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable for you. Choose from premium blinds, shutters, motorized options, and outdoor shades for your patio. Just in time for summer fun. Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home and even send free samples. Plus, you can get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. All backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale happening now. Save up to 50% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.